recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's time for the noon hour here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app, and you can hear us on 106.3. And in particular, if you're on that 840 loop, that's a great place to tune us in on 106.3. Now, Jonathan Hutton is joining us from Outkick, and he is sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. We'll give you a little bit more on both of those in a little bit. I want to throw this out there, too. With the suit out, D-Mace, we've made an executive decision. The suit has delegated us the authority of the show. Mm-hmm. The inmates are running the asylum. And so in the second segment today, with one less question asker, we're going to throw it to our listeners, and we're going to throw some questions. We're going to get some text questions to Jonathan Hutton at 12:15. So if you've got Titans questions you want us to answer, Hutton's going to lead us, 615-737-1025. Of course, Jonathan and Chad Withrow do our post-Titans coverage after the games are over on Sunday afternoon. They were on at 4 o'clock last week. Very interesting show after that Colts victory. So hit the text line, 615-737-1025. We'll go to your text.
We got the power to do it.
At 12:15. We have the power.
The power invested in us by nobody.
That's right. We just decided.
But the suit.
Yeah.
No, the suit didn't even give it to
us. No, he didn't even.
We just decided.
He just delegated.
There we go.
And so you get what you get. We're going to see if it works. 615-737-1025. Jonathan, this is the thing that we have been kicking around the last 2 days. Chase McCabe was shocked. I think he said, originally, when I asked, what do you think the line is on this game? He said 9, 10. I said, how about 1.5? And today it's gone, I've seen, to 2. Why are the Titans such a low favorite against the Texans?
I'm stunned by that, too. Willie, I'm sure you were, which is why you asked the question to
Absolutely.
Chase at the time. I don't get it. This is similar to, and I think the Giants are a better team. This is similar to the Giants going on the road in Jacksonville and being 3-point dogs. That made no sense to me whatsoever. And it took them a one, they were stopped at the 1-yard line. Vegas knows something. And they know that Houston can run the football. They cannot stop the run. They're assuming this is like a 2.5-hour football game. And they don't know the status of Ryan Tannehill. Like, those are the things that I would think about if I'm Las Vegas. At the same time, I would load up on that Titans line immediately based on that on paper, because the Texans are atrocious. The Titans are not a great team. The Texans are really bad. But this Texans team beat this Titans team a year ago for a team that won 12 games. So who knows? This is always one of those deals where we always scratch our heads after the game, because the Titans tend to play up or down to their opponent.
And the lesson, there's a lesson every week in the league. Carolina 21, Tampa Bay 3. I mean, just there's always a couple of games like that. You just have to try to avoid being that team. And the Titans were that team a couple of times last year. So the Jets, as you mentioned, they lost to the Texans. Took everything that they had to beat the Texans in the last game of the season to hang on to the number one seed. So,
and the Texans don't get blown out. You know, you look at the record, and I know that many people, I mean, all we're getting to watch nationally are Broncos and Bears. So I understand that a lot of people haven't seen the Texans. They don't get blown out often. Like, the separation of the score against the Raiders is one thing last week, but for the most part, they're in the game in the fourth quarter. They're not winning games. They're not finishing games. But it's a tight game. And, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, me and Chad, earlier this week, about what we would do. We discussed it on the Tennessee Power Hour. And I said, you know, this is typically a very tight window game. Bullock needs to be very accurate. The Titans are going to run it, and I think Henry can get on track in this game because they're so bad defensively in Houston. But again, I'm not expecting much from the passing game, and I'm not expecting this game to be a rout. But I would assume the line would reflect a Titans win and a touchdown victory, not a field goal victory.
Hutt, none of us are doctors. I've watched as often as I can from the different angles to try to figure out what's going on with Ryan Tannehill's ankle. It did look like the type of action you get when you get the high ankle sprain. That's my worry. He is going to talk at 12:30, which is interesting. Maybe I should have more optimism. The fact that he is facing the media, maybe there's cause for optimism. Otherwise, why would he go up there? But he is going to speak at 12:30. I'm curious to see what he has to say.
And that would be ahead of practice. So we don't know his practice status at that point, but we do know he left in the boot, and he was in a lot of pain. I've never seen an injury where a guy grabbed his knee initially and it was his ankle. You know, that was odd. And from that angle, I hope it's nothing more than a high ankle sprain. And a high ankle sprain can keep you out. Like Mac Jones has suffered that. And
absolutely.
He played last Monday night for the first time since September 25th. So, you know, that can linger, and it's something that you just have to stay off of for a bit. Mace may know much better on the ankle injuries, and Willie, you too, from your playing days as well. But, I mean, that's something you don't just get over in 3 days without practicing. So I doubt he's doing anything this week. Just, you know, first glance off of how we saw him leave Nissan Stadium, and it will lead up to Saturday when we figure out what they're going to do at quarterback whenever they call up Logan Woodside. At least that's the idea in my mind. To be ready, even if Tannehill's active. And if he's not, Woodside and Malik Willis will be the 1-2 punch at quarterback.
Talk with Jonathan Hutton. You can catch him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick, or as I affectionately call him, Jonathan. Me and maybe, four other people.
Well, you've been delegated the ability to go John.
Yeah,
if you want to go John, you can do it.
Can
he's
do
giving
that.
You permission.
Absolutely. Looking at this team, moving forward, because what we're starting to see a little bit in this division, Hutt, is I think Indianapolis has pretty much said, listen, we don't think we have a team that can win this division, because the Titans aren't the greatest team, and you can't even beat the Titans, and you tie with the Texans. Seeing what Indianapolis is doing, I think they've pretty much mailed it in. They're not going to say it, but I think they are. They're hoping that if we put Ellinger in, he maybe win us one or two games, but not enough that's going to take us out that top two or three pick in the NFL draft. Jacksonville just doesn't know how to win. I think they're the best team when you talk about just their roster, but they don't know how to win close games. Houston, I don't know what they are. It's you can't figure
they don't
that,
either.
Yeah, they don't either. They don't have much of anything. But moving closer to the trade deadline, is there anybody that the Titans can give up to get anyone that would help them change what they're able to do on offense? I spoke to you during the game about this, and who they could potentially give up.
So I'm not trying to trade assets that are that are producing right now, and no team would be. That you can tell based on the workouts of what they've done the last 2 weeks, Mace. Robinson is searching for depth on the offensive line. I mean, they worked out like 10 tackles and, you know, centers and guards this past week. So I think if they're exploring trades, it's on the offensive line. But trades right now, at best, you're getting the sixth best offensive lineman on someone's roster. At least that's the assumption. There may be someone that's disgruntled or has a contract expiring or something. But, you know, you're not giving up big pieces that are going to help you get to the playoffs. They have to rely so much on their pass rush defensively, especially on third and long, to help out the defensive backs, that I don't think that they're trading a piece up front. If you're talking about current players in exchange for another player, Robinson would have to part ways with draft picks. And, you know, we brought this up last week, and it's, I think by the time we get to the trade deadline next Tuesday, it's going to be tough to figure out who's buying and who's selling. So I'm because everyone's kind of jumbled up together. And think about this, too. To me, if the Colts want to tank, just leave Matt Ryan in the game. The guy can't move. Like, if you want to lose, just keep Ryan as the quarterback. That was also kind of weird. What they've done is they've given their quarterback position some mobility. I'm not saying it's a great move. There are, I mean, but they skipped down to their third string because that guy can actually move around the pocket a bit because their offensive line is nowhere near what they thought it would be. And I think that's the case for a lot of teams. I think offensive scoring overall is down because the offensive line play for a lot of these teams have not been close to as good in recent years, with some veterans maybe stepping down or, you know, just young pieces being plugged in and not being ready to go. I don't know what the excuse might be, but the offensive line play across the league, I would say the majority of teams have issues up front. And meanwhile, the top teams are solid, and there are only a handful of those teams that would qualify. So the Titans won't be the only team that would love to upgrade on the offensive line, either due to injury or due to players not meeting a certain bar of expectation. And no, Daly has not been good, but they continue to leave him in there because they don't really have a better option. And that's alarming. That tells you about their depth, and that tells you when they're working out, you know, nine guys on a Tuesday in week 7 or week 8, you're in a really bad spot if you're searching the wire right now trying to find someone. Because if you're trying to sign one off a practice squad, chances are the team that has them will bring them up to the active roster to keep them instead of allowing you to pluck them away.
I'm picturing like the 1940s and mm-hmm. The Godfather with the boats coming over to the, you know, Statue of Liberty. Like all of the tackles are on those boats coming over. They're trying to immigrate. Like, I heard you need tackles. We're here, man. I want to try out. Give me a job for you guys.
I mean, think about the Mace, think about the athleticism of offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And really, like, if you don't make an NFL roster, you're not. The athleticism, the side-to-side athleticism is not nearly at the level of the elite tackles. And I think that's the real struggle, is if you're trying to sign someone now, he's not nearly up to the, and few are, but he's not nearly up to the qualifications of what, you know, where Lawan would be or where Nicholas Petit-Frere is. They've you're not going to find that same athleticism and speed on the offensive line that it takes to really do what the Titans are trying to do.
All right, we got another round of questions for Jonathan Hutton. And if you want to text a question, you got trade ideas, you got questions about the Titans you want us to answer, Jonathan is here in the next segment. 615-737-1025. The text line is open. You can call in a question as well if you like. 615-737-1025, brought to you by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Hutt, tell us about Edley's Barbecue.
Edley's Barbecue, great for tailgating, great for dinner on the go. And if you're tailgating this coming week for maybe high school football, maybe you're getting ready, you want to plan things in advance, wings and 25 or 50 count platters from Edley's Barbecue, smoked pulled pork, the best brisket, tender turkey, scratch made sides, all family style. Edley's is perfect on game day and for take home. They smoke all their meats low and slow. All sides are classic family recipes made fresh every day. They strive to serve the best food, and they prove it one plate at a time. Edley's, a neighborhood feel, a tribute to all things Southern, authentic to all things Tennessee. Nashville-style barbecue is Edley's Barbecue. You can order at edleysbbq.com.
Jonathan Hutton with us from Outkick. Taking your question, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Mike Vrabel addressing the media as we speak. And then it'll be Ryan Tannehill. We're monitoring that. And later in the hour, we'll get you the highlights of that. Also, remember, Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is the go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Jonathan Hutton brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined.
Yeah, Hub, before we get to the few callers that we have, I did want to ask you this question because I just saw last night the interaction between Vrabel and Jones. I heard a lot about it. I didn't actually see it. I wanted to see it, so I went back last night to watch it. And it was almost it's almost as if Vrabel sort of got outside of himself and showed his sort of vulnerability in a sense mm-hmm. of his emotions, that was a game that they had to have, and he felt like Ben Jones, him being the leader, showed that you know, even through injury, he was going to battle for this team, and he basically sort of embodies what Vrabel tries to preach to this team each and every day.
Exactly. You know, he is the glue of the offensive line, and he has played through so many injuries. You know, he claims he would be hurt, not injured. I think that's how Ben would describe it. But you can tell, like, game in and game out, he is in a lot of pain, and he battles through it. So this wasn't a one-off where he's back in there. This has been going on for a couple of years. And they love that grit and determination. And at the end, when he's getting that extra yard or so as they're pushing the pile, that was after he left for a play late in the fourth. He comes back and he's pushing the pile, and Jones, you know, comes out of the pile after Henry gets the first down, and just, you know, he's elated. I think that, you know, you mentioned the importance of the game. I think that's also why Tannehill went back in. You know, he came out of the blue tent, sat back down, grabbed the Microsoft Surface from Willis and grabbed the seat as the starting quarterback. I think it meant quite a lot to the direction of the team, where they're not playing their best offensively, but both guys showed a lot of determination to finish. And Jones has been doing that. I think Vrabel respects him to the utmost degree. I was going to say more than any player, but I think there are several players who would battle and fight that way. Jones does it week in and week out, and you know he's also rarely missing practice on top of that. So it was something. I enjoyed seeing that, and he greets a lot of players, all of them, as they come off the field. But that one, you could tell, meant a lot. The fact that he went back in there and knowing that, you know, he's battling through, while, you know, it is a banged up offensive line. They really need him in that spot, and he was able to fight through it.
He is a glue guy, no question about it. All right, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Intriguing one from Greg on our text line, who follows the Browns. What about Jack Conklin? His contract is up at the end of the season. I did not realize this. And, of course, the Browns sort of teetering. That's a great example, HUD, of a team that, are they in it or are they out of it? Like, I can see them making the argument either way. I mean, they're going to get Deshaun Watson, so they might be close by the time he gets eligible to play. But any interest there? Like, that's not something I've seen before, John Robinson going back for a second tour of duty. But, hey, the guy's a good player.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option at the time here because of the injury concerns, and it was warranted. You didn't really know the quality or if the fifth-year option at tackle for a right tackle based on what they were just paying LaJuan was going to be. And he's played well in Cleveland when he's been healthy. The Browns are intriguing because there was a scenario last week where they could have left Baltimore with at least a share of the division lead, believe it or not. Now, they lost. Baltimore hung on because they got a touchdown on special teams, and Cleveland was not as good on special teams in that game. But, you know, they're getting Watson back. They're going to hang around 500 or so, and they will be in the mix late. The question is, do they want to buy into what they're doing, or are they just trying to get by until Watson is back, and then you just kind of see where you are by week 13, and you hope it's not too late? I doubt they would want to trade pieces on their offensive line before Watson gets back to see how much, you know, everyone can gel together going into 2023. But to his point, if Conklin's a free agent after this year, maybe they'll try to flip him for a pick or something.
It's just an interesting name to throw out there. Mike Vrabel, addressing the media, asked about Ryan Tannehill, said he feels like he's getting better, but probably will be limited when the injury report comes out after practice. But limited is better than nothing.
That's great.
So it sounds like a little bit of optimism there. And don't forget, Ryan Tannehill will address the media in the next, 10 or 15 minutes. So maybe some cause for optimism that they might indeed have Ryan Tannehill available. So probably won't get the full reps as he normally does at practice, but he said they will probably list him as limited on the injury report. Here's one from Ben on the text line. What do you guys think about trade activity in the next 5 years? It seems like this last couple years, superstars are getting traded now, and players are asking to be moved, kind of like the NBA.
Yeah.
I think we can see more of it at certain positions. I think the big money positions that can provide an immediate splash, we're going to see more of it. I do think, though, it'll be more of an off-season acquisition than anything else because you want some practice time. It's tough for a wide receiver, for instance, to drop in and immediately produce in week 8. Odell Beckham can do it, you know, as a free agent acquisition. There are a few. But, like, Tyreek Hill has an off-season with Tua. A.J. Brown was working out with Jalen Hurts before the trade even happened. I think that takes time. But the superstar money players at the skill positions on offense, and then the cornerback spots, I think corner could be some movement during a season because you're on an island there if you fit your defensive scheme. But overall, I think you're more or less getting depth pieces this time of year, or you're getting one-on-one players, Von Miller, and guys that just are going to play for you on a 50 snaps a game and get after the quarterback, more so than the offensive players who are going to play every single down.
No, you're right, Hutt. I just think that during a season, it's hard to make that trade for a marquee player. And get them going. I know people point to, well, San Francisco just did it. Yeah, but, you know, that's still wait and see with them. I think Carolina wanted to trade away McCaffrey because of his injury history and the money he's making, so they were more than welcome to make that deal. But I think trading, you know, depth pieces, that works in the NFL. Trading marquee players during the season, very seldom do you see it. You see it more so after the season, so guys can be with the team for, you know, an off season to work with them. But rarely do you see it during the season. And as far as, like, just trades in general, it has become like basketball in a sense with, you know, through the last, 3 years with guys being moved, you know, guys you never thought would be traded. They end up being traded. I think that will stop sooner or later. I don't think you will see quarterbacks being traded the way that they have been the last couple of years. I don't think you will see wide receivers being traded like you've seen it the last couple of years. Not to say there won't be, but I don't think you will see, you know, another Deshaun Watson move or a Russell Wilson move or, you know, name another quarterback that has been traded within the last 2 or 3 years that were big money quarterbacks. I don't think you will see that moving forward.
All right.
Yeah, and by the way, you've got to have the right cap situation.
Exactly.
Hill and Brown are joined teams where the quarterbacks are on rookie prove it years. So they're low on salary right now at quarterback, so they can load up, front load a big deal for a wide receiver. And it works out. The situation has to be really good for a big trade like that to go down in the NFL based on how the salaries are structured compared to other leagues.
Hutt, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to your coverage throughout the week on OutKick, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Yeah, Willie, D-Mace, thank you so much. And you know what? Do whatever you want to do with Chase Dow. Willie, you're in charge. You know that.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of experience here. We can get the job done.
That's right.
So good job getting
See
through
guys.
Without the suit.
All
we'll
right.
talk to Hutton again next week. Don't forget, he's got the coverage after the Titans game. Just really good stuff. Certainly unfiltered. A lot of interesting people weighing in on that show on Sunday afternoons. Okay, when we come back, we'll continue to hit some of the things that Mike Vrabel has been talking about, including, is Logan Woodside possibly in the plans? Would they activate a third quarterback given the fact that Ryan Tannehill could be limited this week? Stay tuned. We'll tell you what he said. We'll also try to hear from Ryan Tannehill during this hour as well here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at 102.5 The Game Nashville. On the Insta, as they like to call it. Mike Vrabel has spoken to the media. We are awaiting Ryan Tannehill. We're going to go to that live here in just a moment. But Mike Vrabel saying he expects Ryan Tannehill to be limited in practice today, but he seemed to sound optimistic He said he's getting better. So maybe a chance. We'll hear what Ryan Tannehill has to say. He was also asked about Logan Woodside. Do you activate a third quarterback just in case? And he said, what scenario would you? He said, there's a lot of scenarios. So he wasn't going to go there. But that is one option you have, is to have three quarterbacks ready to go on Sunday.
Yeah, you can. You have to cover all your bases. You know, when he says, well, he's getting better, well, how much better is he getting? You know, that's what everybody needs to know. And that's what Vrabel's not going to tell anybody. He's just going to say, hey, he's getting better.
Yep. He said, beware of Houston. He said, the stat to keep an eye on, they have outscored their opponent by 20 points in the first three quarters of games. Now, it's a four-quarter game, right? Exactly. It's a 60-minute game. But he's talking about how competitive that they've been. It's hard to blow out the Texans. We've talked a lot about the line being so small in this game. So they have run the ball well. They've got Damian Pierce, who's a good young running back. He talked about, you'll be amused at this, how great the Texans receivers block.
Man, get the hell out of here.
I know I can get a rise out of this. Anytime Mike Vrabel mentions great blocking wide receivers.
That's because he has nothing good to say about the – your parents are always saying, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. So he's picking out something good.
He's a good blocker.
Exactly. He's a good blocker. Well, they don't pay him to block, Mike. You know that, right?
Yeah, but he said it 100% serious. He goes,
I know he did.
They are as good a blocking wide receivers. Now, speaking of Texans wide receivers, they did pick up Chris Conley. They put Kyle Phillips on IR, so that they have now 13 players on the IR, the Titans do. They picked up Chris Conley, who, you go back through the years, he's had some decent seasons for the Kansas City Chiefs and then a couple years in Jacksonville. 2 years ago in 2020, 471 yards. Last year, 323 yards for Houston, and he played two games with Houston this year. So isn't that interesting that they pick him up the week they play the Texans?
Hey, come on in.
Are you a subscriber to that's valuable information? Do you think you can get something out of that?
Yes, I think you can.
Okay, so hold that thought. And we'll hear what Ryan Tannehill has to say, then we'll come back to that. Here's the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, live over at Titans facility.
Right direction.
What's the process in, you know, kind of doing the icing, and what's that been like the last couple days?
It's a process for sure. You know, just doing everything I can in the training room here at home, all types of treatments. So, just trying to stay on top of it as much as I can and give my body the best chance to heal.
Is that a regular ankle sprain or an ankle sprain?
It's an ankle sprain. I'll leave it at that.
Will it be more of a pain tolerance thing than a structural thing when it comes down to it, do you think?
I don't know. We'll see.
You seem to think after the
You guys game. See where this is going, right? So, I mean, you can keep trying or... We can go on to Houston, whatever you guys want to do. Do what?
Did you dance at your daughter's wedding?
She's four, so we're good.
You got some time. After the game, Ryan, that there was going to be a challenge that this week. You seemed to kind of have an idea, even at that point. Is it about kind of what you expected?
What are you talking, the ankle?
Yeah, in terms of, like, after the game, you sort of felt like that way. Is it about where you kind of...
I don't know what I expected. You know, I didn't plan to feel too good after the game, and I didn't feel too good, and we're heading in the right direction.
What's the challenge? Mike said you'd be limited today. What's the challenge for you if you are, in fact, limited throughout the week and being able to play Sunday and play well?
Just staying on top of things mentally. I'm just making sure I'm taking all the reps I can mentally. Obviously, I'm not physically getting as many reps as I usually do. So making sure mentally I'm going through everything. Communicating with the guys. You know, we just had a walkthrough out there just trying to communicate with the guys and make sure we're all on the same page as we, you know, install this game plan and start getting ready to go.
With your health situation, thinking about, you know, helping Malik get ready while you're trying to see if you heal and everything. You know what I mean? Like, as you go through the week, you're taking mental reps for a game plan, but are you also in the mindset of trying to help him get ready in case?
Yeah, I'm trying to help in every way possible, whether it's Malik or the tight ends or O-line, whoever the case may be. Just communicating, make sure, like I said, we're all on the same page and on top of this game plan as we move into the game.
With being limited in your ability to take the physical reps, how do you go about getting up to speed with a brand new guy who just walked in the door today?
Yeah, we'll see how things go as the week goes on, you know. So it's a walkthrough practice today, so, you know, wouldn't be any full-speed reps there as well. But, you know, as the week goes on, we'll see, you know, how I progress and how things move along.
Just
curious, what's the fascination level at home with kids when you walk in with a big boot on your foot after the game Sunday, and what, does it limit what you're able to do at home?
Yeah, definitely not moving around the house the way I usually spend a lot more time rehabbing, icing, and all those types of things. And they have all the questions, you know, what's going on? You know, what is this? What is this? Why are you wearing that? My daughter's asking me, you know, am I going to wear the boot during the football game? So, you know, I got all types of questions.
You're more forthright with them than you are with us about it.
A little safer space there.
Yeah. As you watch the Texans secondary, it seems like things are starting to come together for him. What do you see from there, especially the young corner and Stingley?
Yeah, he's playing well. He's playing well. Got his hands on a few balls. He has good instincts, good range, good speed, good man coverage skills. Obviously, they play a lot of zone too, and he has a good feel for you know, where his zone's at. So definitely a quality corner, and he's playing well early on in his career.
With Conley having spent some time in the division the last couple of years, you've gotten a couple looks at him in person, on tape, different things like that. What are some things that stick out to you that you think he can really bring to the offense?
Yeah, he's made plays. You know, that's one thing. I can't remember specifically what plays that I remember him making, but I just remember him standing out and his name and making plays. So as he, you know, comes in and gets accustomed to what we're trying to do here and what we're trying to accomplish, see how he fits in our system in the best position possible, and start trying to give him the ball.
Ryan, how important is for you a statistical success? Meaning, I think a couple years ago you guys had like the second best offense in the NFL. Now you're the second worst statistically offense in the NFL. How important is that to you when you see that?
Wins matter at the end of the day. Obviously, you want to be good, right? You want to do everything at the top level. But at the end of the day, our job is to go win and put ourselves in position to win and play how our team wants to play. So that's what it all comes down to.
With it being your right ankle and your plant foot, is it a big concern to be able to put enough weight on it so that you can make your throws properly?
Well, that's definitely part of throwing, but, you know, we'll see here as the week goes on how that turns out.
I know you talked a lot about Ben Jones's toughness since you've been here. You know, when you see games like Sunday where he's kind of pulling himself off the grass and barely making it in the huddle, what was his expression like, and what do you ever look at him and say, you know, what are you doing out here?
That's just about a weekly occurrence with Ben. It seems like, you know, more weeks than not, he's peeling himself off the turf and getting back in the huddle, struggling through something. He's obviously, you know, one of the toughest guys in the game and battles to be out there each and every week. So, you know, I love going to battle with Ben.
As you guys continue to win these close games, like for you personally, like what do you feel you contribute to this team being able to win those close games so consistently?
You know, our job is to go win and answer the bell. We talked about this morning. You know, it may not always be the prettiest thing, but we're a group of fighters and a group that's going to answer the bell. You know, we may get knocked down, we may have to recollect and regroup, but, you know, get a chance to go back out there, an opportunity to, you know, make it a two-score game or put the game away in the four-minute drive. You know, we took advantage of those opportunities, so that's one thing that I have a lot of confidence in and that our group has a lot of confidence in is, you know, we're going to find a way to win games.
Which is going to be missing without Phillips here for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, tough to see Kyle go down, you know, late last week. You know, great player and was just starting to get healthy again from his last injury. So, you know, we'll miss him, but hopefully he's back soon.
How much emphasis do you guys put on your wide receivers for run blocking here, and how much does that help with the kind of offense that you guys run?
Well, it's huge. You know, I think you know probably better than anybody. You know, that's one thing we're going to ask our guys to do is go block. You know, we believe in running the football, and it takes, we say, all 11 to do that. And we ask our receivers to get in there, dig out safety. Sometimes linebackers, depending on the look, could be a mismatch right, physically. But our guys go in there, they battle, they throw their hat in there and fight their tail off. So they're doing everything we ask.
Do you see guys get better at that in particular, you know, the longer that they're here? Do you see that being a priority?
Yeah, we're just pointing out on tape this morning some looks that we had from the game where guys are you know, transitioning into blockers better, getting into their blocks, finishing downfield, things that we preach day in and day out, and, you know, starting to pick up some momentum there.
You talked about Ben's toughness. How do you mentally prepare when you're playing with an injury?
Like I said, stay on top of the game plan. Make sure, right, that you're ready to go. And then, you know, once it comes down to physically doing it, it's just a matter of making sure you can do everything you need to do to play the game and just pushing through.
All right, that's Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, live over at the Titans Complex. You heard Joe Rexroad ask the question, is it a high ankle sprain, regular ankle sprain? The answer from Ryan Tannehill, it's an ankle sprain. I'll leave it at that. He did say he is getting better. He'll be limited at practice today, and it seems like he's optimistic that he's got at least a shot of contributing on Sunday. A lot of different ways. It was kind of funny. People got a chuckle about all the different angles. He got to even said at one point his daughter asked him if he'd be wearing the protective boot during the game on Sunday.
The boot. I'm going to wear that boot.
And for the record, he was not wearing the boot at the podium today. So he's at least walking around without that. So we'll talk more about it on the other side. We'll get D-Mace's thoughts. And speaking of healing from injuries, people here in Middle Tennessee are getting real lasting relief from their joint pain thanks to QC Kinetics. They're the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. Formulas like theirs have been available to professional athletes for a long, long time, but now they're available to everybody. And they now have three clinics in our listening area, Nashville, Clarksville, and in Murfreesboro. Regenerative medicine, what is it? It's an advanced science that uses healing properties from your own body, healing agents that are highly concentrated, and then put into the aching joint directly. All natural, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, no surgery. So if you've got pain from arthritis or joint injuries, knees, hips, back, don't let them tell you you need surgery. Try this. This might be for you. Get a second opinion by calling QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Talked about Ben's toughness. How do you mentally prepare when you're playing with an injury?
Like I said, stay on top of the game plan. Make sure, right, that you're ready to go. And then, you know, once it comes down to physically doing it, it's just a matter of making sure you can do everything you need to do to play the game and just pushing through.
Ryan Tannehill minutes ago at the podium saying that he's feeling better, he's making progress, he'll be limited at practice today. He came in without the boot on. He would not specify if it's a high ankle sprain. And I can't say it enough. High ankle sprain is different. And it looked to me like a high ankle sprain. We will find out as the days go ahead. So now let's try to dissect. By the way, be listening at 1 o'clock. Sean Salisbury is going to join us from down in Houston. Sports talk show host down there. Longtime NFL quarterback. So he's maybe been through the process of preparing when you can't practice as much. Also, got great perspective on the Texans. All right. One thing you mentioned, D-Mace,
yes,
was today's practice is a walkthrough. So take me through a Wednesday and how Ryan Tannehill is likely trying to prepare and what you read into the fact that he's going to be, quote, limited at practice.
Well, I mean, at first, you know, you got to understand he's not going to walk into a press conference with a big boot on. Okay. He's not going to do it. All right, he has his ankle taped up underneath socks or whatnot, more than likely, and he's going to walk in there because he knows that this, you know, this pressure is only going to last 10 minutes. I can bear 10 minutes without my boot on, so he's not going to walk in with a boot on, for one. Two, the what typically happens on a Wednesday is because you're coming off a Tuesday where you're off. Wednesday, you want to do your first install, first, second down. You want to install it. So you have your meetings in the morning, and then you have a walkthrough for about 45 minutes, 45-minute walkthrough. In shorts, in jersey, go out, just walk through some of the script for today. Then you come back in, you do your interviews, eat lunch. Then you get yourself prepared for practice, whether it be for Ryan, it's going to be a lot of rehabbing. So he was right. Hey, I got some limited action in, walk through. I don't expect him when they go full go later today. Now, the league could have changed. Wednesday could be sort of a walkthrough day. I don't know. I'm just telling you based upon my history. It's walkthrough in the morning, lunch, presser, and then practice, and you know, after that around 1:30, somewhere around there, 1:30. I don't expect him to do anything during that because he had got all of his so-called physical reps during walkthrough, whatever he could do. The mental will be this afternoon when they practice. He's taking all mental reps. He's looking at the script, looking at the playbook for this week, the game plan, and he's sort of going over it through in his head. He's sort of another coach in a sense during practice, because not only do he has to understand and know what Houston is playing, like visually seeing it on the field, he has to help, you know, if Malik needs help, to sort of dissect what's being seen and to let him know, you know, a few little things. Now, the coordinator to help him with that, and the quarterback's coach as well will help Malik with that too. So he's not going to do anything physical on the field with the team today. It's Thursday and Friday. I really can't see, because the way he answered the question, is it a high ankle sprain or is it a regular ankle sprain? Well, it's just an ankle sprain. I'm going to leave it at that. To me, it could be a little worse than – it could be the high ankle sprain rather than just an ankle sprain.
Yeah. The high ankle sprain is worse because of the way the ankle is twisted, and it just makes it really hard to move around. And it's not even that much of a matter of the pain. That's always one thing, but it just doesn't – you can't explode off of it. You can't move as well, and it takes a while to come back from it if it's, in fact, a high ankle sprain. And there are degrees of it as well. Now, here's another thing I'm curious of. If the media is allowed to watch the individual drills at the beginning, will they get a look at Ryan Tannehill?
He won't be out there. He won't be out there. Yeah. He will more than likely –
but it still counts as him participating on a limited basis.
Yes, because he could come out later. What's going to happen is he's going to go back and get more treatment.
Yeah.
And when that 15-minute window that reporters can see, Ryan's not going to be out there.
So they won't.
But they're not going to think any. They're going to say, well, he's in the inside getting treatment.
Right.
They don't know once they leave whether Ryan's coming back out or not. He will never tell you. Vrabel will never tell you. The team will never tell you. You know, so I expect – when the media people are out there watching the first, however long he lets them watch, the first 5 or 10 minutes of just individual, I expect Ryan to be in the training room. Or if he's not in the training room, he will be heavily taped, but outside. But then once everybody leaves, he's going right back inside to get more treatment. He's not staying outside. It's not beneficial to anybody that Ryan Tannehill stays outside. He needs to be getting treatment, and that's what he will do. So he won't be on the field practicing with the team. I don't expect today. I don't expect it tomorrow either, because they got to try to get him healthy. You know, my concern is, okay, you get him to a point where, okay, yeah, he can play. But what if somebody falls on it again and you got it taped heavily? He's going to re-injure his ankle. I don't expect Ryan Tannehill to play this week. I'm telling you that right now.
So you're still pretty skeptical.
I'm thinking if he plays, I would be highly surprised.
Even though they
not that he doesn't want to, but because of the injury.
They even presented some optimism today.
Well, they're going to do that.
Right. It is a cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
But you're still kind of skeptical. You want to see more before you're saying
And again, he cannot play. I mean, he cannot practice and then go out there and play. But what does that – who does that help if he's still dealing with this ankle injury? You know, he's
right.
not
if
as
he can
mobile.
Play, but he can't move.
Exactly. That's he's a, not that's as a, mobile. Somebody else falls on it. The offensive line is not great in pass blocking. Somebody falls on it, and then you're back to square one. So, to me, I would be highly surprised if Ryan Tannehill plays Sunday. I would be.
Okay. When we come back, you're going to want to hear Sean Salisbury. Always an exciting conversation. We'll get what's going on in Houston. They've outscored their opponents in the first three quarters, 99-79. It's been a problem in the fourth quarter, but they've been competitive, and they're only a two-point dog to the Titans. Stay tuned. We're coming back with the final hour of the show next on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace.